Show me the money! Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today, as usual, in his studio, as I'm in mine, is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst, and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Back here in the studio, still sitting here with the door open and just enjoying the beautiful weather.
Absolutely. If folks who heard our intro hit there think I'm thinking about talking about sports agents and the environment of paying players outrageous sums of money, you've got part of it right. I am going to be talking about agents. I'm going to be talking about playing and paying, but it's not in relation to sports. Actually, it is because it's probably one of the largest participating sports in America, Chuck, and that is politics. As a matter of fact, the agents are usually lobbyists, but in this case, it goes even beyond lobbyists. The playing is access and benefits for your clients or your causes, and the payers, well, we'll talk about the payers.
Barry, not all lobbyists are big money lobbyists, are they? I mean, I think you know somebody personally who isn't exactly flush with cash, who's in the lobbying business.
Yeah, but those are usually the people who just don't know what they're doing, Chuck. I think you're talking about me because I'm not. And this is good, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm not tooting my horn, but I want to say that when most people hear the term lobbyists, they get a very bad taste in their mouth to start with. They start thinking of people like Jack Abramoff and others, or here in Ohio, like the Tom Noes of the world, who use their access and large campaign contributions in order to shape policies. Well, Chuck, you're right. I don't have large chests of money that I can give away to politicians. Even if I wanted to, I wouldn't do it. Because there are two types of lobbyists in the world, ladies and gentlemen. There are those that are called access lobbyists, and those are the ones that you think of when you hear the term lobbyist. They're the ones who are taking officials on lavish trips or sending them on golf outings or what have you. Or they're the guys like the Jack Abramoff who are charging millions of dollars to clients so they can turn around and write big checks to their favorite public officials so that they can get a favorable ruling or a favorable passage of a piece of legislation from them. And then there are those we call confrontational lobbyists. And that's kind of where you find me and many folks who advocate, especially in the nonprofit world or in the family policy world, and that is the fact that we're not paying for access. We're not promising big campaign checks to these people. We say that you are elected by us, the public, and you're supposed to be doing your job. And if you do a good job, you'll be rewarded by people loving you and you'll be reelected. If not, then we'll find ways of finding somebody else who can do a job better than you can. A confrontational lobbyist basically uses the power of grassroots networking and the power of people in order to move good policies. Access lobbyists often want to use the power of the purse. But, Chuck, it's rare that you have someone who, when they do this, unless they actually get caught and are facing charges, usually from law enforcement for bribery or extortion or trying to launder money, you rarely get any of these people who will just come flat out and admit, yeah, we're paying for access. And yeah, it's a quid pro quo. But we have one now. And this one's kind of fascinating, at least to me, maybe to our listeners as well, but maybe not. It seems that former United States Congressman Patrick Kennedy, yeah, that's the son of Ted Kennedy, who recently passed away, who was a former United States Senator, has basically come out and admitted that he wrote a huge check to the Obama reelection fund in order to get support for an initiative he has called One Mind for Research, which is basically a foundation to do research and help for brain disorder issues. And so he wrote over a $35,000 check to the Obama reelection fund so he could get time with the president in the White House to get his support for his initiative. Chuck, that is the definition of quid pro quo, which is Latin for this for that. Or in other words, if you do this, I will do that for you.
Yeah, exactly. And this is obviously nothing new, especially for this White House and preceding White Houses. Bill Clinton was infamous for selling nights in the Lincoln bedroom.
Right, or having the infamous coffees.
Yes, the big deal I can remember, there were some political cartoons at the time where somebody hung a motel sign outside the White House and $40,000 a night, Lincoln suite, that kind of thing. And that's basically what was going on. Clinton was selling nights in the Lincoln bedroom for high dollar donors. Now, this is nothing new. Powerful people have often been put in the Lincoln bedroom. Guests to the White House have been invited to stay over. And I think Rush Limbaugh got a night in the Lincoln bedroom when one of the Bushes was in. Which one really doesn't matter. But the fact is, some parties are more blatant about it because they can get away with it.
Yeah, I think the Kennedy clan thinks that because of the aura surrounding their name and their political background, they can get away with it.
Well, for instance, the Obama White House has a history having meetings that don't get reported. There are reporting requirements for people who come and go with the White House for access to their president. The fact is that this White House has repeatedly been asked to show meeting records, logs for presidential meetings that people have known have happened because they've seen the people coming in and out of the White House, and they've either been refused, which isn't legal, or they've simply not logged people. And that was something that popped up early in the Obama administration. And what happens is, of course, that fell into what we now know as the Orwellian memory hole. Now, if this had been a Republican president, this would be a campaign issue right now.
Well, and it could still end up becoming a campaign issue, Chuck, because it was the New York Times which actually opened up on the Obama administration regarding their, shall we say, less than rigid adherence to their professed statement that they would not have lobbyists give campaign contributions to the campaign. They seem to be getting around that, and that's the New York Times in their politics session was reporting on, and that was on Saturday. And they published an article talking about how some big money lobbyists from the entertainment industry, this was because of the internet companies and Hollywood fighting over online piracy, that this industry lobbyist landed a big meeting with one of the president's technology advisors, but he didn't come by himself. He came with someone who happened to be the cousin of Obama's aide, Valerie Jarrett, by the name of Antoinette Bush. I guess that Obama likes having some Bushes come into the White House while he's in charge. So Antoinette Bush, who's a Washington lawyer, who has represented Viacom, Sony, News Corp, which is, I think, the parent of the New York Times. She's been to the White House 9 times during his term, taking lobbyists along with her. And funny thing is that she and her husband are big money donors to Obama. And it seems like when she crosses the threshold of the White House to go inside, a check appears in the Obama campaign coffers. And this happened last year. When his wife went into that meeting with the entertainment industry lobbyists, her husband gave $35,800 on that day. And then she contributed the same amount a month later. Then they host a $17,900 a plate fundraiser in their home. And it's funny because $17,900 a plate is $35,800 a couple.
$35,800
seems to be one of Obama's favorite numbers.
And there's a reason for that. That's a maximum number.
Yeah, it's a maximum number. That's right. It's a max out. That's the same amount that former Democratic Congressman Patrick Kennedy gave to Obama to go in and talk to him about his pet project. So although they can say they're not accepting campaign donations from registered lobbyists, and notice the term registered, former congressmen and family friends who are bringing registered lobbyists to the White House to talk business can certainly donate at the maximum and are more likely to be there, according to an analysis that the New York Times did, that if you gave $30,000 or less, only about 20% got access to the White House. But once you hit the $100,000 in donation mark, 75% had direct access into the White House. Ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be a difficult campaign this year. And, of course, both campaigns are going to be trying to raise significant amounts of money, both the Obama reelection campaign and the Republican campaign. But this, if you sit out there and say you're not going to accept money, but then you turn around and you take money from people close to them who are in the physical room with them when they come in, you know where they're getting the money from. So let's stop kidding ourselves here. He is accepting money. It's just not coming directly from the registered lobbyist. It's being laundered. Dare I say it, it's being laundered so he can sit out there and say how wonderfully ethical he's being in not accepting money from registered lobbyists, but he's still accepting money from registered lobbyists.
Well, Barry, I'd like to know where this story appeared in the New York Times. Is it in Section E?
It is in the U.S. subtab under politics.
Well, that's online.
Yeah,
I'm talking about.
Now, I don't know where it appeared in the print edition, if it did at all. But it's headlined, White House opens door to big donors and lobbyists slip in.
Yeah, see, we don't know. It's not a front page type story. If it is, it's under the fold, as they say. But that being as it may, at least it made it into the New York Times, who probably is attempting to repair. Well, it's sort of like trying to bail out the Titanic. This is going to be a losing effort. The New York Times is probably going to go under at some point before too long. Like most newspapers, it's dinosaur media. But at least they're printing it these days, and they're printing those things because they're tired of getting the nonsense about ignoring Democratic scandals and giving great highlight to Republican scandals. Frankly, from our vantage point, we would like to see every party's scandals highlighted at the same frequency and with the same vigor. But that's just not going to happen because, let's face it, most media is in the tank for the Democratic Party. That being said, we've had some issues with a woman named Hillary Rosen, who is a Democratic National Committee consultant.
Yes.
And advisor to the president, who told CNN last week that the infamous she had never worked a day in her life, when in fact she stayed home to raise the Romney children. Well, guess what, folks? That's a heck of a lot of work. I have my office at home, and I know how much work it is to stay home and raise children. And the fact that my wife didn't directly get a paycheck for that doesn't mean that she wasn't exhausted at the end of the day from all the work that she'd done. And she said the hardest work she ever did was not with corporate America, where she did work at one time. It was raising her kids. So we've got this woman who is basically using her status as friend and consultant to help launder some of this money. She's been able to swing special lobbying privileges for some of her own friends.
And she's been a registered lobbyist, Chuck. She was the lobbyist for the Recording Industry Association of America for 16 years.
Politico basically says she and others at PR firm SKD Knickerbocker have represented many clients that have raised hackles with senior White House staff. It's an open secret that in the Dem consultant community that SDK Knickerbocker has been signing up clients based on, quote, perceived White House access tied to prior relationships and employment. In other words, SDK Knickerbocker has been using its ins at the White House to sign up its biggest clients.
Yes.
So this goes on all over the place, and even though the White House has, quote-unquote, been distancing itself from Rosen, that won't last, Barry, because they've dug up this meme about war on women.
Uh-huh.
And people like Rosen are able to partially to keep that alive. Let's be clear about Rosen's background. She is a lesbian.
She is. It's interesting that she's attacking family structure, Chuck. Because not only is she a lesbian, her partner is a woman by the name of Elizabeth Birch, who was the executive director of the Human Rights Campaign, which is the largest gay and lesbian
lobbying
arm in the country. So they are the folks who push to try to knock down the marriage amendments that states have passed. I'm sure that as we go along, we'll find out that they're involved with this new effort, especially in Ohio, to try to open the marriage amendment up to basically say, well, it applies to gays and lesbians, so they can get married too.
Yeah, exactly. And the fact is that the real war on women is being waged by progressives who are waging war on the traditional family and women who choose to act in their traditional family roles. Now, I personally am all for, if you really want to work in the corporate world as a woman, please be my guest. Do so. I do not want to restrict you. But I also do not want you to get laws passed that makes it difficult for families who want to act in the traditional roles. In fact, I think those traditional roles ought to be rewarded even more so with public policy than people who decide to go into the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we could go much further on this, but unfortunately, we're really short on time.
I'm sure we are.
On this issue. So I'm going to have to say we have to sign off. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.